Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom we see. Our sermon text today is found in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. There it is written, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." So far, our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Pray that by them you would sanctify us, for they are the truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I don't know if you've ever seen the television show Undercover Boss. I guess it's very popular. I've only seen a few episodes, but one of them caught my eye. And I remembered to look it up. Undercover Boss is about, it's a reality TV show where the boss disguises himself or herself and works with the regular employees for a while to find out what's going on in their company. And in this particular episode, a woman by the name of Sarah Biddorf, who was or is the chief brand officer of Boston Market. Well, she arrives at one of the restaurants and begins her training. She's greeted by a young man, and right from the start, this fellow begins to talk about how he really doesn't care for customers. He said, "My least favorite part of the job is that customers always have to be right. I absolutely hate that." He goes on to say, "Children and old people are literally the worst I've ever seen in my entire life because none of them know what they want, and they literally can't talk. You just kind of have to deal with it." Finally, the boss, she says, I can't have someone that just told me they hate customers more than anything in the world serving our guests. That's the complete antithesis of what we stand for." And so she reintroduces herself to him. And she says to him, "I'm angry and I'm heartbroken and I'm disappointed." And then she proceeds to fire him. But in the follow-up interview, this young man, he shows no remorse. He says, "I didn't think it was that terrible. It's not wrong of me to hate people. I'm not trying to justify like how mean I was to the customer, like behind their back. Like they don't know what I'm saying, so it's not really a big deal. But now, like you know, the giant lady of Boston Market knows what was going on. It's just not fair." That was his attitude. In some ways, the original episode of Undercover Boss was recorded 2,000 years ago for us, when Jesus came among the Israelites. He didn't come as the exalted King of Kings. He came lowly. He was born to the Virgin Mary in a stable in the tiny town of Bethlehem, and they esteemed him not, the scriptures say. Though the Israelites knew the Old Testament pretty well, they didn't pay attention to what it said. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Sadly, to this day, despite all the wonders God did among them, most of the Jews do not see who it was that visited them 2,000 years ago. But we see him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, our scripture says. We see him. The Spirit has opened our eyes. We see him in his humiliation because the Spirit has opened our eyes to the truth, revealed to us that God himself came 2,000 years ago among his people. We see him in his exaltation too, because the Spirit has revealed him to us as the one who will soon appear again. And we see him, the founder of our salvation, for who he is, because he has spoken the truth to us, because he's baptized us into his name, because he's joined himself to us in Holy Communion. We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. This is a summary for the people of Israel of what God did for them. The book of Hebrews was written to them to assure them and to explain any connections that they might have missed in the Old Testament, because all around them, their countrymen who did not believe what God said, who did not see who Jesus was, who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, who did not believe that he was the Son of the living God, their countrymen were confusing them. Even though they knew the word of God given to Malachi that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, even though they knew that he would be born to the house and lineage of David, even though they should have expected him to be born under mean and lowly circumstances, the Israelites would not believe it when it actually came to pass. Even though they knew the amazing works that the Messiah would do because the Old Testament foretold them, even though they saw the lame walk and the deaf hear and the mute speak, even the dead raised, they would not believe. Even when they saw Jesus do those very things among them. Even though they could see that Jesus was without sin. Even though they heard time and again that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, even though they condemned Jesus for no good reason, even though they saw him crucified at the hands of the Romans at their request so that he tasted death, even though they saw the soldiers around the tomb and the seal placed on it and the stone rolled before it, they could not believe. Even though they heard the eyewitness testimony of more than 500 that he had risen from the dead, they could not see him crowned with glory and honor because they would not believe. They could not believe that such a humble man, born, bloodied, beaten, and buried, could be their Messiah. At best, they saw Jesus and continue to see him as a great rabbi, a teacher. But they can't see him for who he really is. But lest we think that we're somehow able to see him by our own reason or strength, We must remember that it was fitting that he for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. We know who Jesus is. We see him, but not because we figured it out. If we know how great and good our Lord is, why is it that when we suffer, when we are disadvantaged, we're sorely tempted to try and look around Christ for some other way to be rid of all that vexes us? Why do we disregard and disrespect him? It's not because he doesn't show himself. It's not because we don't know him. It's because our hearts are messed up. And by nature, we're against God. And in our thoughts, we even sound a little bit like that employee from Undercover Boss. If God had not recreated in us the image of Christ and given us a new birth by water and the Word, we would be oblivious to the truth at best, or bitter toward it and toward him at the worst. When the boss revealed herself on the show, that bad employee acted as though it didn't matter, as though his thoughts were all that mattered, as though he controlled his destiny. But he didn't. And when Jesus is revealed on that great and last day, he will be clearly seen. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even the devil will have to admit and to see what he has so far refused to see, that Jesus is true God, that he is Christ, our Savior. There will be no doubt on that last and great day, and all who have refused him, to believe him, to trust him, to listen to him in his word, to repent of their sins, to worship him as he directs in the gathering of the saints around the preaching of word and sacraments, they will not be fired and sent home. They will find themselves ashamed and cast out. They will be divided from heaven and God's loving presence by a great chasm that they cannot cross, and tormented with everlasting regret and hellfire. Thanks be to God that he has had mercy on us and sought us out and sanctified us by washing us clean and implanting his word in our hearts. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. We know Jesus to be the Christ, the founder of our salvation, because he has brought us to see this truth, because he is the perfect founder of salvation through suffering. If it were not so, we would see what the rest of the world sees, a great man, maybe a tortured man, a man who lived and died 2,000 years ago, a man with great historical significance, but not a whole lot else. We would not see the Word incarnate. We would not see God in the flesh. We would not see the way and the truth and the life. We would not believe what God says. We would not see Jesus for who he is. We would continue on in the unbelief we were born with. No one ever had to teach you to doubt God and his goodness and his word. That was born into you. No one ever had to teach us to regard his commandments and live life for ourselves. We're good at that by nature. But our Savior, who suffered for us, called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Our Savior called us out so that we now see him for who he is. We see his perfect life, and we see his suffering, And we say in our hearts, I know that he did that for me, to redeem me, to save me. We see the great blessing of baptism, wherein God promises to forgive our sins and call us by his name and make us part of his family. We see in bread and wine the very body and blood given and shed for us on the cross to win our salvation, to satisfy God's law, to overcome his wrath over our sins with his love for all mankind. This seeing is belief. It is faith, the trust that God has engendered in our hearts by the work of his Spirit so that we trust him and know him and see him. Fellow redeemed, that's why these words are refreshment to our souls. God loves us. He continues to love us through Christ our Savior. He forgives us. And these words also warn us not to take this all for granted. There is a reason that he's gathered us together around his word. There is a reason that he has provided you with a preacher. There's a reason this sacrament is here for you. There's a reason we admonish one another in all wisdom, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. God has given us all these things to surround us with the hosts of heaven, to guard and keep us so that we receive all the blessings that he would give us as he brings us out of this valley of the shadow of death to himself in heaven. So take heed. Listen to his word. Rejoice in it always. And see who it is that has come to speak to you this day. Jesus, our Savior. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.